Memories of our lives, of our works, and our deeds will continue in others. That's a Rosa Parks quote, and it's pretty apt, isn't it, given that we're in the wake of International Women's Day, the Monday just gone. Following the topic of hard work and women, Melbourne Graduate School of Education have just celebrated the launch of a new book entitled Women Thriving in Academia. There was a little event for it on the Monday just gone, International Women's Day, and it included a panel offering an insight from women of academic success. There was a senior research fellow and that was there, and she's joined us today. It's Dr. Marion Mahut to talk about the work-life balance and how the pandemic has magnified this already fractured landscape. Marion, are you there? Thanks for joining the show.
Good morning, Jared. I'm delighted to be here this morning to talk about my new book.
No, it's my pleasure. So let's start quite broad with what the book is about and why women in particular might be interested or benefit from reading it.
The book, Women Thriving in Academia, is actually part of a series called Surviving and Thriving in Academia. It draws on real-life examples and insights and offers practical advice and strategies for those navigating the many challenges, responsibilities, and opportunities of academic careers. This particular book, Jared, was not born out of strong ideological feminist ideas or with grand aims to change the system. It was conceived as a celebration of how far women have come and continue to drive in the pursuit of research, education, and scholarship despite the challenges. I think if nothing else, I would like to let the next generation of women, like my daughter, for instance, to know that it is possible to thrive regardless of the challenges life and academia throws at us. With this book, I like to pass the baton on in a better place than where I started it.
Sure thing. So if you don't mind going into a little bit of detail, some of them are fairly obvious. They're pretty much a part of kind of just the general lexicon and probably in the minds of most people. Granted, within a 2021 context, and we're all the better for it. But what are some of these challenges that might face women in the workplace, in academia, and just, I suppose, in life in general?
There are many deep societal and economic issues related to being female in academia. So many of the challenges are familiar and translate into institutional barriers. For instance, women are expected to have excessive administrative service, devaluing of their research interests and their scholarly work. We also include cultural barriers such as isolation and lack of community, particularly in higher education where the boys' club still exists. This is quite prevalent. And also personal barriers such as balancing work and family demands and also personal life. These issues have been, you know, have raised many headlines around the world, not only just in the last year due to COVID, but also for many years. Decades even, and are still current and common today. The fact that we have an International Women's Day says it all. You know, stereotypes of women abound in academia. Yes. And often these stereotypes are subtly expressed and shared by other women as much as men. If we are to continue to have, to create spaces in academia where we have diverse colleagues and flexible working environments, the change starts with us.
Sure thing. I should clarify just very quickly when I said that we're all the better for understanding the some of the barriers that might be there for women. I meant it in the sense that we're aware of it and then we can make step towards kind of eradicating them. Just in case anyone thought I might have meant the wrong thing there. But I suppose I do want to ask then, it's no secret that women still do carry a lot of the responsibility when it comes to kind of domestic life, even in 2021. How has that been affected, I suppose, in the last 12 months by the pandemic? A lot of people sitting inside a lot more. And what might this book do for someone that might feel kind of like the world's coming down on them and might be really frustrated at the moment?
So there are the challenges that women have gone through in the last decade. It's just magnified during this last year.
Sure thing.
So if women are expected to take on domestic responsibilities 5 years ago, there are now more gaps with those challenges during the last year. So it hasn't the challenges, whether it's personal or professional, hasn't gone away. They're still the same. It's just that the gaps are getting bigger and bigger. And then we have Professor Lynn Goodwin, for instance, in the book said, we live in a world dominated by men, with Asian men on the bottom and white men on the top, but with women always, always beneath all of them. But then in this book, we found that in places such as South Africa, or for vulnerable groups such as LGBTQI, there are further segregation, with white women always at the top, followed by all these other marginalized groups. You know, we read with interest and dismay and discomfort of the career challenges experienced by these women, particularly of color, of different socioeconomic backgrounds, from different immigrant backgrounds. These stories are emerging with strong voices and compelling conundrums. As a community, I think we need to stand up and take notice. We need to see them and hear them and tell them that they have a right to belong.
Sure thing. I guess to that point, I will say that I don't identify as a woman. I'm a white man, essentially. So someone that you just said is often at the top of this kind of power structure.
That's right.
How might you suggest someone like myself go about, I guess, challenging these gender roles and challenging this marginalization that's been so kind of entrenched within society and within job roles and within academia and alike? Does your book go into detail about that?
A little bit, not too much. We did talk about there is a section that talks about leadership.
Sure.
I think in higher education or in any other sectors, in any other sectors, you need to lead with authenticity. You can see this in universities or even in countries that are led by female leaders. Authentic leaders, particularly in times of the COVID-19 crisis, have been shown to have positive outcomes for trust and satisfaction in leadership. It improved staff well-being and organizational commitment. So I think for, you know, a white male like yourself, embracing these characteristics has important and measurable outcomes for any leaders navigating higher education or any sector for that matter.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic thing that I suppose you've written about, and hopefully we can move towards something where there's a bit more equality and equity. If somebody wanted to go and check out the book, if a listener wanted to go and check it out, how should they go about doing so?
It is available on Amazon. It's also available on the Emerald Publishing website. If you put in the code THRIVING, you can get 30% discount.
There you go. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of, I suppose, incentive there to do so. I really appreciate your time this morning, Marion. Thanks so much, and all the best with the book, and have a good week.
Thank you for having me here, Jared. It has been a pleasure.
Sure. Thank you. The pleasure's all mine. Cheers.
All right. Thank you.
That was Dr. Marion Mahut joining us today to discuss how to thrive while balancing work, domestic life, and I guess the challenges that face women in the workplace and in academia, and I suppose just the in life in general. Her new book, Women Thriving in Academia, as you just heard, can be available on Amazon and a couple of different platforms. I didn't quite catch it. We'll put it on the website when we upload this pod, but there's a discount code that might help you in incentivizing you to maybe check it out, to have a look, to maybe buy it.